Okay, good afternoon, everybody. This is our class on Shavuos. Okay. Shavuos, of course, is Matan Torah, giving of the Torah. And I guess we should discuss a little about the Torah today, huh? First of all, there's always a first of all. You ever notice that? And there's never a second of all. There's only just the first. We read the Ten Commandments in Shul. Okay, and we read Megillas Rus, right? The book of Rus we read on Shavuos. And the reason we read the Ten Commandments is obvious because we got the Torah then, right? So we'll be discussing that, and particularly the first of the Ten Commandments. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Saseicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I'm the Lord, the God that took you out of the land of Egypt. And as we've talked about so many times, all the commentaries mention on this that you would have thought that would have said, I'm the Lord God that created heaven and earth. Why does it say, took you out of Egypt? Okay? So we're going to try to address that question. And also, we have a couple other questions. We have the question that we said, Nasa v'nishma, right? We will accept what you're ready to give to us, and then we'll hear what's in it. As opposed to when Hashem offered the Torah to all the other nations, they said pretty much the opposite. Let's hear what's in it, and we'll see if we can accept it. Okay? That's another concept we want to discuss. Now, the question there is that afterwards we find that Hashem held the mountain over our head. Har Kegigis, the famous, I think Rashi brings down, it's a Medrash, so it's also a Gemara, that Hashem said, accept the Torah, or you'll be buried here. Well, what does that mean? Is it metaphoric? Is it real? Is it physical? What does that mean? And why was that necessary to force us to accept the Torah, so to speak, when we said, Nasa v'nishma? Right? Okay. The Megillas Rus, we mentioned, we also read. So, let's, first of all, Rus, one of the reasons we read Rus on this day is because in a certain sense, we were all like converts. Rus, right, is one of the most famous righteous converts that we have. As a matter of fact, she is the ancestress of the Mashiach, right? She gave birth to eventually, if you look at the very end of Rus, it gives down the Yichus that David HaMelech comes from. As a matter of fact, the book of Rus was written by Samuel the prophet. For only one reason. I shouldn't say that only one reason, but the main reason he wrote it was to prove that David was legitimate. There was a whole debate about Moab and Ammon. These two nations are not allowed to marry into Israel. They're not allowed to convert, marry into Israel, right? And the halacha was unclear at the time. The truth is, the halacha is that the men are not allowed to enter Israel, but the females are. Okay? That halacha wasn't clear until this time, and Boaz made it clear. He was the leader of the generation, okay? Therefore, Ruth's conversion, marrying into Israel, is legitimate, and of course that makes David legitimate. But during David's time, that halacha became unclear again. A lot of people were razzing him. They were giving him a very hard time, okay? But we're going to see there's many other reasons we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. Shavuos is, by the way, the Yortzeit of David HaMelech. David HaMelech was born on Shavuos that landed on Shabbos. Shavuos, the word seven's in there. You know, 7 times 7. 7 weeks from Pesach to Shavuos. David HaMelech was born on the 7th day of the week, Shabbos, on Shavuos, right? And lived 70 years and was Nifter, passed away on Shavuos that landed on Shabbos again. Okay? So therefore, that's one of the reasons we read Megillas Rus, right? Because it is describing the birth of David, so to speak, his Yichus, right? Also, we know that we need Torah Im Chesed. You have to have Torah with acts of kindness. And the book of Rus is full of tzedakah and chesed. The chesed that Rus did with Naomi and the chesed that Boaz did with Rus. Right? So that goes hand in hand. By the way, Rus in Gematria, the numerical value of Rus, right, is 606. right? She took on another 606 mitzvahs. As we know, right, the righteous of the non-Jewish world already are commanded on the seven mitzvahs of Noach, right? So we have 613. She took on another 606 indicated in her name, right? Rus. Okay. And on this day, as we already mentioned, we were like converts at Mount Sinai. That's another reason we read it. And therefore, okay, Rus, by the way, you can see the three letters of Torah, three of the letters of Torah in the word Rus. Okay, as a matter of fact, the Gemara in Yevamos learns out a lot of laws of conversion from Mount Sinai. We went to the mikvah and, you know, all these things, and a lot of us learn out there. Okay. All right, now keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Now, but we're not finished with Rus. There's a medrash that tells us the following, that all the goyim turned down the Torah, right? Hashem went to Esav, for example, and Esav said, "What's in the Torah?" And we said, Hashem said, "Don't murder. Can't do it. Can't accept it if it's don't murder, because, you know, that's what we got our bracha, right, that we'll live by the sword, right, and we try to fulfill it at every opportunity." So I went to Yishmael, you want the Torah, Yishmael said, "Well, what's in it?" The children of Yishmael, "Yeah, don't steal, can't do it, you know, that's how we make our livelihood, you know." So, and so and so on. And then, of course, it came to us, and we said, "Nasa v'nishma." Now, the question here is asked, the fact is that these two mitzvahs, they're commanded on anyways. These are the Medrash brings down these two mitzvahs in particular, and the fact is that the seven mitzvahs of Noach, they're already commanded not to steal, not to murder. Right? So what, you know, it doesn't make sense. What's in it? Don't steal. What's in it? Don't murder. Ah, oh, we can't accept it. Ah, you already commanded on that. You already have to keep those mitzvahs. You hear? You hear the question. So, the fact is, what makes us completely separate from the Goyim is the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Talmud, the Gemara, right? The written Torah, the truth is a closed book without the Talmud, but yet they have translated what they call the Old Testament into English, or mistranslated it, I should say, right? Because without the Talmud, it's a closed book. Okay? Lamaisa, what makes Israel unique is we only by means of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, of the Talmud, we know what's written in the written Torah, Torah Bechtav, right? And therefore, it becomes one Torah only with the Talmud. So, let's go back to the Medrash. These mitzvahs, it's true, they understood they were already commanded not to steal, not to murder. But the Talmud tells us there's other arenas that fall into the category of don't steal and don't murder. For example, Gnevas Das, stealing someone's mind, which is a form of deception. We even have such a sensitive halakha that you're not allowed to go into a store and ask the salesman, you know, "How much is that?" You know, and take a lot of his time, right, and then not buy the item. Of course, if you tell him, you know, "I'm just looking, I'm curious how much this is," that's different, right? But if you don't do that, that's a form of ganeva, that's a form of stealing. You're misleading that salesman, you're bringing his hopes up, thinking you're going to buy the product, you're stealing his time, okay? So, and under murder, call, you know, amal bim p'nei chaveru barabim, anybody who, like, embarrasses his fellow Jew in public is tantamount to murder. Did you know that? That falls under that category. Right? So therefore, that's what the Goyim couldn't accept. Esav and Yishmael understood they were already commanded on the literal translation of don't steal and don't murder. But the Talmud? Where does the Talmud get that? Where do the rabbis get that? You're going to tell me to embarrass someone in public? Right? That's tantamount to murder? Right? You're going to tell me that, like, not opening up a store right next to somebody else, competition, you know, that's considered stealing? That we can't handle. And that is what separates us from them. That's what separates the Frum Yid. We know that the Torah Baal Peh explains to us what's in the written Torah. And that's something the Goyish mind can't handle. Okay? And by the way, it's just interesting, these two mitzvahs, which is basically, you know, we're saying the oral law's interpretation of murder, don't embarrass somebody, and the oral, the Talmud's interpretation, one of its interpretations of stealing is, if you set up a store right next to somebody, competition, that's taka, what the goyim can't handle. You know, that's, their whole culture is based on, you know, competition.
Hopping.
Sports, right? Competition. And making fun of people. You know, embarrassing someone in public. That's a gossifying joke by them. So making fun of people and the competition, you tell them you can't do that. There's certain gedorim, certain boundaries that they can't handle. However, says the famous Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram, who lived during the time of the Vilna Gaon, do you really think that when Hashem offered the Torah to these different nations, there wasn't some individuals in those nations that wanted to accept the Torah? Of course there was, but they were outvoted, you know, by their king. So the Medrash says that certain gifts, the nations, the Goyim brought us certain gifts. What are these gifts? These are those neshamas at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, that wanted to join the Jewish people. They wanted to accept the Torah, but were, you know, outvoted by their king. These are the presents that the Goyim have brought to us. And who represents all those Goyim, all those righteous converts? Rus. Because Rus, again, is the ancestress of the Mashiach. Okay? And therefore, that's one of the major reasons we read Rus on Shavuos. Because that's like the portion of Torah of the Goyim that they wanted to accept it. She represents them. All the righteous converts. All those souls. Okay? She's the main representative of that. And that's another reason we read that. Okay? Another idea behind this Gemara is that in order to earn something, to accept the Torah, you have to be tested. And the truth is, Hashem, as we've mentioned many times, especially with Avram Avinu, our father Avram, that tests go counter to your nature for it to be a test. Remember, we talked about all the tests of Avram were opposite of Chesed. Okay? So that's why, you know, the question, you know, Hashem goes to Esav, you know, you want to accept the Torah, what's in it? Why did Hashem pick don't murder? The bidyuk, that very thing that he has a struggle with. Why did he tell him some nice mitzvahs? You know, Torah says give tzedakah, you know, the Torah says, well, you know, whatever, you know, the three festivals, whatever it is, you know, eat and drink nice on Yom Tov. That's a nice mitzvah. No, Hashem Daka picked that thing that was their essence, because again, that's the test. Right? Daka, that thing that's against your very essence, right? That's your base nature, right? If you can say, ah, the Torah tells me I have to, you know, squash my base nature, then you've earned your portion in Torah. So Davka and Kodesh Baruch Hu picked those things that were against their nature. Esav of murder and Yishmael stealing. That was their test. They failed. Where's the test to B'nai Yisrael? If we're saying, in order to get anything of a great spiritual zach, you have to be tested, where is the test to B'nai Yisrael? It's not fair. Hashem didn't give us a test. They could say that, right? So the test is, we're in it. What do I mean, we're in it? This is Shloisha Yemei Hagbola. We are in the midst of the 3 days of separation. Shloisha Yemei Hagbola, right? The 3 days before the giving of the Torah, Hashem said, don't approach the mountain. Boundaries, right? So that's what they say. They say that taka, I heard this from Abzalam and Brizel, that taka is our test. We said a test goes against your nature, right? A test goes against your essence. You can tell from the test what your essence is. You can tell that if I tell you, Esav, don't murder, that's your essence. If I tell B'nai Yisrael, 3 days, you can't get any closer to me. You got to stay at these boundaries of the Mount Sinai. What does that tell you? It tells you that the essence of B'nai Yisrael is to always want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have the vekis, to be like a Nadav ve'Avihu, to offer a fire that wasn't commanded them. But I can't help myself. I love you so much, Hashem. I want to get close to you. No. Boundaries. That's a very sophisticated test. You hear that? That was the test. For us to squash our wanting to get close to Hashem, to have like a feel-good religion, but rather to confine our service to Hashem into what He tells us. And now Hashem is saying, it's time that you don't get close to me. Or the fact is, you get closer to me by not getting close to me, by having boundaries. Because the ultimate closeness to Hashem is to do His will. Big lesson. Big lesson for those out there who think they can chisel away Yiddishkeit because this helps us feel better in our service to Hashem. If we can tear down the mechitza, or we can give females aliyahs, or whatever it is, it helps us all feel part of the service. No, that's not what Hashem asked. Hashem wants you to follow halacha. Okay? So, B'nai Yisrael took their tremendous teshuka for kirbas Elohim, getting close to Hashem, and channeled it, and squashed it, right? And therefore, we merited to get the Torah. Now, we said Naseh v'nishma, right? Yet Hashem suspended the mountain over our head. We said that seems like a contradiction. First of all, you have to understand, when we said Naseh v'nishma, there was a tremendous revelation. You know, that's Hashem like tore the heavens asunder. I don't know what that word means, but it's a great word, isn't it? Asunder. Anyway, and we saw this open revelation. So, but the fact is, it was a tremendous time, as we just mentioned, a tremendous tshuka, a tremendous yearning to get close to Hashem, that we were so enthused that we said Naseh v'nishma. And Hashem still suspended the mountain over our head. So one of the ideas behind this is, that's wonderful. It's fantastic that you have this tremendous desire to get close to me now, and you're saying Naseh v'nishma. But don't think your acceptance of Torah is based on that. You have to accept the Torah. Whether you feel right now tremendously enthusiastic or not, right? That's great. But there's going to be times that you're not going to feel enthusiasm. There's going to be times that you don't want to get up in the morning and daven. There's going to be times that you don't want to do the mitzvahs. Right? There's going to be times when you have 3 days, Shabbos and 2 days of Yontav. And it's going to be tough. And you still got to do it. The mountain is suspended over your head. Meaning, know that you have to accept the Torah because that is your essence. That is your mission, Israel. And the whole Briyas HaOlam, the whole creation of the world is contingent on you accepting the Torah. If you remember in Bereishis, we said this. Yom HaShishi. Right? The sixth day of Sivan. If we accept the Torah, fine. If not, the world goes back to null and void. So again, the lesson for us, obviously, is sometimes we have tremendous yearnings to serve Hashem. We feel great. That's wonderful. But that's not really the essence of accepting the yoke of Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem upon you. It's after those times you don't feel like it, you gotta do it. And the fact that Hashem forced us to accept the Torah, that put it like in our genes for all times, that during those times, whether it's a Spanish Inquisition or a Holocaust, we still try to do the mitzvahs when it wasn't so geschmack. And that's the idea. Another idea is poshut. It's a statement. It's a fact. If you accept the Torah, well and fine. If not, here's going to be your burial spot. I'm going to drop the mountain on you. In other words, it's a statement. Without the Torah, you're dead. That's what it's saying. It's not unfortunate. It's a statement. I'm telling you something. You said Naseh v'nishma. That's fine. I want you to know, though, had you not said it, you're dead. You're dead. Freedom. Chayrus. Without the Torah is hefkeres. It's nothing. It's not life. You can only have true simcha, right, if you're free, cheres, free from Egypt, right? That's the sphera, 7 weeks from Pesach to Shavuos. You can only have true simcha with your freedom only if you have the Torah. Without the Torah, you are dead. You can eat and drink and indulge in the pleasure of the world and not even enjoy that. That's the statement. Okay? Now, hold on to that because we're going to come back to that a lot. You know, one commentator, Chiddush Yerim, says here that if you look at that language, if you remember, we actually discussed this in the Parsha, V'yitziatzvu b'tachti sahar, that we went under the mountain. The language, the grammar, the Hebrew grammar there is that we ourselves put ourselves under that mountain. It's mashma. He says, v'atzmam b'rtzainam yitziatzvu. It's mashma from here. You see that we wanted to be forced to accept the Torah. We went ourselves underneath the mountain. And like said to Hashem, forced us to accept the Torah. You hear this? Right? So, and it says, "Be'emes hem amru below Torah ma chayish shave efes v'ayin." We said, "Without the Torah, what's our life worth? Nothing. That's our whole purpose—to accept the Torah. That teaches us how to live." As we said many times, Torah means guide. It teaches you. You know, we came with an instruction booklet, right? So we ourselves wanted to be forced to accept the Torah, and Hashem gave us the ultimate present. The ultimate present. He forced the Torah upon us. And he continually does it. Whenever we leave the Torah, Hashem will bring a persecution upon us and force us, if need be, the hard way to come back. There's no greater gift than that, than to know that Hashem is never going to leave us, no matter how bad we get. Tough love, right? And will force us to adhere to the Torah. Why did we merit that? And why didn't they, the Goyim, merit that? Because of this. Because we said Nasav and Ishma, and we went underneath the mountain. We push it. We wanted to be forced to accept the Torah. You want to be forced? I'll force you. You know, like a kid. Force me, Dad, to stay in my room and learn. Don't let me out of this room. Fine. But you can only do it if you want it. So therefore, listen to this. It says at the end of the days, the Goyim will have a taina against Hashem. They'll say, you forced the Yidden that you spend the mountain over their head to accept the Torah. You didn't force us. Had you forced us, we would have accepted it. Right? So Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to give you a simple mitzvah. Right? I'll give you a simple mitzvah, and we'll see, you know, it'll be like your test. What's the mitzvah? Because the mitzvah sukkah, it's a whole thing there. Hashem makes it very hot. They can't take it, and they kick in the sukkah. Right? That's the Gemara actually talks about this in detail. Okay. It's very interesting. So what does that mean? And then it goes on and goes on there. But basically the idea is when the heat's on, when the going gets tough, they kick in the sukkah. Right? But B'nai Yisrael wants to be forced to accept the mitzvah. So even when the heat's on, the inquisition's on, whatever it is, we still try to adhere to the mitzvahs. But a little deeper insight on that, it goes on and explains that they'll say, give us our portion in Torah. I can't find it right here. But it says, give us our portion in Torah. It might be a different Gemara. But Hashem says, why should I give you a portion in Torah? And this case, look, you know, we built marketplaces. And we built bathhouses. And we built roads. Only for the purpose that Yidden can learn Torah better. You know, everything, you can bathe easier and you can shop easier and the highway transportation system, right? Whatever it is, it makes you get done those physical things quicker and you can concentrate more on Torah. It saves time, right? Right? So, Hashem says to them, Shaitim, fools. Fools. He says, you did it for your own benefit and therefore you have no share in Torah. Unfortunately, ask the question is, why does Hashem call them fools? Right? Why didn't he call them liars? The fact is, they lied. They didn't bring any such thing. You know, when you built marketplaces so you could do your thing in highways. No, you don't have to do with the Yidden. You're liars. Hashem doesn't call them liars. He calls them shaitim. Why? So, it's explained there that Call them shaitim, because the truth is, we did benefit from those things. We benefit from the highway system. We benefit from the marketplaces. We benefit from all the technology. Of course, a lot of it we've done ourselves. But let's say they did it all. The fact is, we benefited from it, and those yidden that used it and allowed themselves freer time to learn Torah, taka. They have a share in Torah, these goyim, because we did use kol sof, right? We did utilize it to spend more time learning Torah. So Hashem called them shaitim and not shakranim, not liars, because the kavana, their intention wasn't that. That's a partial to simple answer. Their intention wasn't that. Their intention was for own benefits. That it happened that we benefited from it is irrelevant because that was not their kavana. So why am I telling all this? Because we see from here, had their kavana been, right, taka, so the yidden could have a better olam hazeh so they can concentrate on Torah, they would have gotten a share in Torah. Which means the following. Which means that any time you do anything in this world, in the physical, materialistic world, for the purpose of enabling to learn better, or to do mitzvahs better, serve Hashem better, that thing in the physical world also has a share in Torah. You understand what I'm saying? Like that famous Zavul and Yisachar thing, their partnership. Which means, again, this idea of Beholder Achacha Da'eu, know Hashem in all your ways. If you eat, and you have in mind, I'm eating, okay, I'm hungry, but I'm eating also so I can serve Hashem, so I'll be strong. I'm sleeping so I can get up refreshed and serve Hashem. How do you serve Hashem? I don't know. I'm an optometrist, and I do an honest business. Right? So I'm eating and sleeping so I can work, so I can bring home money, so I can send my children to the proper chinuch, proper Jewish education, right? All of that, eating, sleeping, working, all that becomes part of the Torah. The very same thing you do 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week. It can be a heksher to the mitzvah of Torah, or it can just be stam, nothing. It's a godly, and we see it here from this Gemara. Had the Goyim built the marketplace in the streets with the purpose that we learned Torah, they would have had a portion in Torah. So that's what we've got to learn in our everyday lives when we do things, to stop and think why you're doing this. What is the ultimate purpose of it? Just don't eat to fill your gut. Just don't sleep because you're tired. Think. Tachlis. I'm a Yid. I serve Hashem. And I need to eat and I need to sleep. And I need to play tennis every now and then to relax. But it's all for the purpose so I can be refreshed to serve Hashem. It's a mitzvah. You hear? Now this is very important on Shavuos. Because on Shavuos, we get involved in this world. I know that sounds weird. Let me explain. Shavuos, the day of giving of the Torah, you would think is a complete spiritual day. In a certain sense, it's just the opposite. But it's really Hainuhach. They're really the same. The physical and the spiritual world. That's what we're saying. When you use them together, like it's supposed to be. As a matter of fact, when we got to that point at Mount Sinai, we said, Nasa v'nishma, right? Those first tablets that we got, the Luchos, they correlate to the level we were on before the sin of the golden calf. Our bodies were like almost like Adam. The body and soul, there's no contradiction anymore. You hear? So the pure physical being was all our limbs were attuned to serving Hashem. We didn't do anything for any selfish motives. Therefore, Hainuhach, the Luchos, these Ten Commandments, these tablets, were also on that level. The body of the Luchos, the physicality of the Luchos, were made by Hashem. And so was the writing. The body, you know, the stones are the physical corresponding to our body, and the writing corresponds to our neshama, our soul. And just like we, at that point, had reached the 49th level, we were close to the level of Moshe and prophecy, physical and spiritual, there's no contradiction, so too the Luchos, their physical property and their spiritual property, the writing, they were both from Hashem. Afterwards, when we sinned, we went down, we lost those crowns of Nasa v'Nishma, we became more physical, we went back to that level where we are right now, struggling with the physicality, and therefore, the Luchos, says Oyer Gedol Yahu, was made by Moshe. They were physical. The writing was still from Hashem, the soul of the Luchos. Okay? Alright, so, That's the idea. That's the level we're at Mount Sinai. Now, let me tell you something. We're going to talk about Yontov. Every Yontov, the Gemara says, there is a debate. What do I mean, there's a debate? I'm going to start this whole segment on the next side. Hang on. The debate in the Gemara is that every holiday you can either spend, right, Kulo LaHashem or Kulo Lachem. There's such a debate in the Gemara that you can spend the whole day to Hashem in Torah and davening, and you don't have to eat. You don't have to eat, you don't have to worry about the physicality. Or do you spend half of it involved wearing nice clothes, eating a nice meal? Okay, no, the debate is on every yontif. In Shavuos it says, Hakol moedim batzeres nami lachem. Nami chatzi lachem. Everybody agrees that on Shavuos you have to have the lachem, which means the physical part, for ourselves, the eating, the drinking. That's very funny. You'd think of all days, it would be just the opposite. The day of the giving of the Torah, I would think that everybody would agree it should be Kul Hashem. It should be all to Hashem. You hear that? Okay. That's one idea. Hang on to that. So why? That's one question. Moshe goes up to Shemayim and he wants to take the Ten Commandments down here. You remember this Gemara? And the angels were up there and said, "My Yilud Isha Beneinu, what is this person born of flesh and blood doing amongst us? Get out of here. I want to take the Torah down." So you're not taking the Torah from us. And they gave him a whole argument. And Moshe was scared. And now Hashem had to help him. I don't know what all this means. But basically, Hashem told Moshe, answered them. Moshe said, "Let me ask you something. You guys, you know, says in the Ten Commandments, don't steal. Do you guys have a Yetzer Hara? Will you covet things? It says don't murder. Do you guys have jealousy? Do angels have jealousy? Do angels have a Yetzer Hara? Do angels desire physical things?" They said no. So they agreed, Moshe, you won. You see that we humans with a Yetzer Hara and physical desires need the Torah. Torah Tadlin. The Torah is like a spice for the Yetzer Hara. It helps us channel the physicality in serving Hashem. Malachim, angels, you don't need it. You have no physicality. You hear this? So that answer appeased them because we are flesh and blood. We need the Torah. Answers part of our question. Why everybody agrees that on Seris, on Shmuas, Nami Lachem, that you have to have Lachem. Because that's how Moshe brought the Torah to us. Convincing the angels, so to speak, that us with the physicality, that's why we need the Torah. It's going to get better. Everybody agrees that on Shabbos the Torah was given. Did you know that? The Torah was given on Shabbos. And then we have a famous Medrash in Bereishis, that first word, Bereishis, that four things are called Reishis, are called the first. Yisroel is called the first. Torah is called the first. Bikurim are called the first fruits, right? And what else? And Chala. Okay, so we're going to talk about three of them. So, because Bishvil Yisrael, Nivra Olam, because of Israel the world was created, because of the Torah, and because of Bikurim, the world was created. Okay. The bottom line, as we've discussed so many times, the main purpose why our soul came into a body, into a physical body, is to elevate the physicality. That's what Shavuos and the giving of the Torah is all about. Only with the Torah does it teach us how to mekadesh the gashmius, how to sanctify the physicality. So therefore, dak on Shavuos, we have to have the lechem. We have to eat better on Shavuos. Everybody agrees. We have to wear nicer clothes. All this, because that is the whole purpose of the Torah. The whole purpose of the Torah, not the whole purpose, major purpose of the Torah is to elevate the physicality. Without the Torah, we can't do that. Okay. So that's very good. The lechem has to be sanctified with kedusha on Torah. Now, the Brias Olam, the whole creation of the world, was for Yisroel to accept the Torah, as we already explained. If we didn't, it would have gone tohu vavohu, null and void. What does Bikurim have to do with this? What does the first fruits have to do with this? First fruits represent that when you're sitting there working the land, right? The most physical thing you could possibly do, working the ground, and you get your first fruits. You might think, my power, my strength got me this, right? That's right. And instead, what do? You don't say that. You take it and you dedicate it to Hashem. That this is yours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I recognize that. And that the purpose of creation is to elevate the fruits, the first fruits, the physicality of the world. All right? That, by the way, Shavuos is called Chag HaBikurim. That's one of the names. The holiday of the first fruits. We give first fruits. On Shavuos, you have all these entities. Israel, getting the Torah, the first fruits. Right? Therefore, it's very good when you see in our Torah, the Brichas HaTorah in the morning, we don't thank Hashem to learn Torah. We say La'asak b'Torah, to be involved in Torah. What's La'asak? What do you mean be involved in Torah? Because our whole day we should be involved in Torah. Not actually learning necessarily, it's wonderful if you do, but every act, every second of the day has to be Al-Pi Torah. There's a Torah way of eating. There's a Torah way of sleeping. There's a Torah way of conducting business, etc. In other words, all our mundane activities are not separated from Torah. That's the idea here. Torah teaches us how to live in this world. So, the truth is, Torah was given, and we're going to talk a lot of things about, you know, Torah teaches, it gives us the next world. Kiyem Chayenu. It gives us Olam Haba. There's no greater mitzvah. Bamateisam. Torah was given for us to enjoy this world. Not just refine it and sanctify it. Pasha, to have simcha, to enjoy life, right? Pesach, without a Shavuos, you turn freedom into wildness. With freedom, with the guidelines of Torah, teaches a Yid how to have pleasure with measure. That's it. That's what it's about. Torah, if you ask, who has Olam Hazeh? Who has this world? Only a Ben Torah. Only a Ben Torah. Only a person who's involved in Torah has this. It says in Pirkei Avos, Nosenes Chayim, the Olam Hazeh. Pirkei Avos says it gives you life in this world. Ashrecha B'Toblach. Ashrecha B'Olam Hazeh. Happy. The person who takes Torah upon themselves. Ashrecha B'Toblach. Ashrecha, you'll be happy. Ba'olam hazeh, v'toyvlach lo'olam haba. That's what it says. It'll be good for you in the next world. Ah, so now we understand. But we always think, okay, we're sacrificing some of the good times in this world to get a piece of the next world. Nein, that's not the word. You're going to have olam hazeh. You only have to look around. All those people with no guides and everything, no matter how much they have and how much they're doing, how much they're buying, they're not happy. They're not happy. We live in the most prosperous of times. No doubt about it. In this country, the most prosperous of times. And more people are miserable and seeing shrinks and drugs and all the other zachim out there with dreadlocks and earrings all over the place. All the other bizarre things, right? And yet, you know, and they have everything, but they're miserable. They're just searching for some sort of identity or something. Chvesnish, what they're doing. You hear this? What's the answer? The answer is they don't have Torah. So this is a big chiddush. Rav Shor goes into this in detail, but the chiddush that we always think of Torah being Olam Haba, the Torah teaches you how to have pleasure in this world. And you can only enjoy Olam Haba with Torah, with the guidelines of Torah. That's it. You enjoy life. You push it. You know what the meaning of life is about. You know what to do with life. There's no greater pressure than that. And therefore, that's it. Hakol moedim nami lachem. Therefore, in Shavuos, everybody agrees, you have to have the lachem. You have to have the physical. Because the Torah teaches you how to enjoy Olam Hazeh. That's the idea. All right. So that it says, this, by the way, in the Shemona Esrei, if you look at the last pair, Sim Shalom, right? So it says there, Torah Chaim. Torah is Chaim, right? Torah is Chaim. Torah is Chaim. It teaches you how to live, Pashut. Imamish, you go around with you have a true life, a true shalom. It gives you shalom, it gives you peace, it gives you tranquility of mind. It gives you peace of mind. You know who you are, where you are, what you're supposed to do. You have a mission, a purpose in this world. There's no greater simcha than that. And by the way, that's why this is the holiday of simcha. You know, the rule is, the first time, Tzadik HaKohen talks about this, the first time something's mentioned in the Torah, that becomes the paradigm for it. We talked about this in reference to money. The first time we came into money as a nation was with that Rechush Gadol that we took out of the big wealth we took out of Egypt. I'm not going to go into that, but if you remember, that teaches us our attitude towards money. It was on loan, basically, we said. You know, that's what it's the first time Simcha is mentioned in the Torah, right? The word Simcha, it's not mentioned at all by Pesach. It's mentioned the first time in Shavuos, talking about Shavuos. Which means, that's the paradigm. That teaches us what Simcha is about. What is the definition? According to what we're saying, it's very good. The Simcha of Shavuos, of getting the Torah, is having a place in the world. Know where you're headed, know where you're going, yet you have a purpose. People are walking around aimlessly out there, just jumping from bar to bar to bed to bed. They don't know what's going on. They don't know why they're living. They don't know why they're here. So they need distractions. That's why Hollywood's so popular. That's why sports is so popular. It doesn't let you think. You get involved in their lives. Talk shows, magazines, right? All these things. Why do you think these things are so popular? Because people don't, they're bored of their lives. By the way, there's no Hebrew word for adventure. Noach Weinberg talks about this. Adventure is an American word. Why? What does adventure do? Adventure, you get on the brink of death. Yeah, you jump off a cliff with those wings, gliders, all those things, right? You're skiing, you feel the exhilaration. Why? Because when you finish with it, you're still alive. That's the only way you can feel alive. If life is about to be taken away from you and you survive, you feel alive. Other than that, you're walking around dead. That's what it is. You know, the person who climbed the mountain, and he said, yeah, I climbed it. Why'd you climb it? Because it was there. Weinberg, he talks about these. He goes, there's a liar. He climbed it because he's bored. He has no life. That's why he climbed it. It's amazing. I always read in these Reader's Digest in the bathroom. I read this. In Reader's Digest, they always have these stories. You ever look at the cover? You know, like, eaten by bears while camping, or they always have, you know, all these wild stories all the time. Or I parachuted out of an airplane, you know, and the chute didn't open. And he crushed every bone in his body, but he was still alive. And then always at the end of the article, they say, and I'm going to do it again next month. It ain't going to stop me. It always sounds better with a redneck accent. Right? So what's the deal? The guy just got, you know what? Because that's momish. Without that, they don't feel alive. They have no purpose in the world. That's what adventure. That's the whole bazaar of adventure and TV and sports is you jump into their lives because you don't have a life. No. Torah tells us the first time Simcha is mentioned is by Shavuos. Because that's the Iker Simcha of life. This is the Yontav of Hakaras HaTov. This is the Yontav of being grateful to Hashem. We say it all the time. You're going to say it a bunch of times in Davening. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim. That you chose us from all the nations. That's it. There's no greater Simcha than that, guys. We're the Iker. That's our godless. We have the Torah. Besides the fact of honor that you get to be an Eved Hashem, servant Hashem, you have a life. Again, you enjoy this world. So that's it. What's Asher Bachabana? We get the Torah. When we get the Korah, that the Torah chooses us. It's like the Kli Chemda, it's called. In Mamish, the Kli Chemda is touched many ways. It means a vessel, but it also means Chemda is a yearning. It's a vessel that gives you yearning to serve Hashem. It's the Eitz Chaim, the tree of life, right? And the Shaar Umah, it's the Goyim, they don't realize this. And what you have, if you realize what you have, you realize you have the Torah, you have a relationship with Hashem, you're serving Him, you're investing in dividends in the future, but you're enjoying this world, knowing that you have a purpose of what to do here, then it's not shaykh to be sad. You can't be sad. You're malah simcha no matter what a person's going through deep inside. We said it many times here. You know, it's a great mushel. I have to use it again. It's, the guy comes, home one day and he wins the lotto, right? He wins $20 million. It's amazing. You know, I've given this share for a few years now. I used to start that he won $1 million. But now that inflation's coming, I have to use $20 million because $1 million doesn't impress anybody. Okay, so anyways, he wins $20 million. He comes home, you know, the kid broke a $100 chair, right? So normally he'd be very upset, right? He's not upset today. Why is that? It's a Kleinikai. He won $20 million. That's us. We won the lotto. Shavuos, Motzei Shabbos, Saturday night, you're about to win the lotto. You're going to get the Torah, which means you got the millions. And if you come home, you find a broken chair, Right, don't let it bother you. It's a klinikon, which means if you have problems, I'm not belittling people's problems, but the bottom line, things don't go out so well. People insult you. Right, they're small things. They're klinikai compared to who you are and what you got. You're a yid. You got the Torah. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. So therefore, it puts everything in perspective. Whatever little... I understand there's source in the world. I'm not denying that. But it's better to have... to be a yid and have the Torah with source than, right, the other way around. To be an Elvis or Janis Joplin or Marilyn Monroe or any of these other people, right? Right, and have everything, glory, fame, wealth, but no rudder in the water. Okay? So that's the idea. So that's why Simcha is by Shavuos. Right? We gotta moms think about this. What it would be, you know, people like the Russians, when their Yiddish guy is threatened and taken away from them, that's when you appreciate these things. That's what Shavuos is about. It's a time to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He chose us and gave us the Torah, and we have a life. We have a life in this world, Ashrei Chaboy Lamaze, and we're building for the next world. Okay, hold on. By the way, side note here. You know, the physical world follows the spiritual world. You notice on Pesach, it's a spring, right? Blossoms. Right, you see flowers starting to blossom. Shavuos, 7 weeks later, right? What happens? You have the pre. You have the fruits from those blossoms. That's it. Us, our spring, our budding was Pesach. We were physically free. We got our physical body back. Shavuos, we got our soul. That was the pre. That was the fruit. The whole purpose of Egypt, we've said many times, is to get the Torah. That's the fruit of Pesach. Just like in the physical world, the blossoming of flowers, Pesach time, and the fruit comes out Shavuos time, that's us. We're getting the fruit now. Okay? Now, it also means, again, back to that Seres HaDibros, the first of the Ten Commandments, Hashem introduces Himself with this conclusion, I'm the Lord thy God, right? Asher Osei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of the land of Egypt. In other words, connects them right there. Matan Torah connected with Pesach, B'Vasachad, in one shot. That's the whole purpose of this freedom, right? That's the idea here that we said. That's the pre. That's the whole schtick. That's the purpose. Again, it's not just to be physically free. Okay. The fact is, the truth is, if you want to know the truth, is until we got the Torah, we weren't free. There wasn't a Yitzias Mitzrayim. They're like, wake up in the middle of the night, sleepwalking. That's all. We're sleepwalking. It's no seichel. Nothing going on. Only now we're free. Now we're free. Hashem, Yeshua, get the Torah. Therefore, I know Hashem, I'm Lord God. Now I took you out of the land of Egypt. Now it's complete. Now you're really free. You have the Torah. Okay? Until then, we weren't free. You hear? Okay. And then we're repeating ourselves. Probably are. I do that a lot. Bottom line is, you gotta remember this, that this is a, our declaration of the independence didn't come in the land of Israel. And we always say that we love Israel. We can only do mitzvahs in their fullest in Israel. But the fact is the Torah was given to us in a desert for a reason. Our declaration of independence, right, is based on Torah, not in the land of Israel. And we can survive without Israel. A little bit crippled, but we can survive, right? Right, we prefer not to survive that way, but without Torah, we cannot survive. That's why Torah was given in a desert, to teach us that wherever we are, even in a desert, we can survive if we have the Torah. Okay, a couple other notes here. Why is it called Shavuos? What I mean by that is that, and we use a lot of Shavuos, by the way, besides meaning weeks, what else does it mean? A vow, to swear. So we made a vow, we exchanged vows. You know, a lot of times, besides the Har Sinai incident being compared to a gerus, a conversion, it's also compared to a chasana, right? Right? Bride and groom, we were married, the Torah, like ketubah, right? So, it's called Shavuos. Well, that's one of the reasons. We exchanged vows. Hashem made a vow he would not ever exchange us for any other nation, right? Contrary to what they think out there, right? There's no new Jews, new and improved Jews, or anything like that, right? Right? I always wonder about these products, you know, new and improved. What were we buying up to now? Old and crummy? You know, I was, alright. Right, so Hashem made a vow, we're not, you know, not going to exchange with another nation, and we made a vow that we're going to stay loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one of these called Shavuos. But the truth is, I already told you this. Shavuos, we mentioned that the holiday has many names, Bikurim, so holiday of the first fruit, the holiday of Matan Torah, right? I better find this, right? It's called Atzeres in the Gemara. We discussed that. The Shemini Atzeres of Pesach, the culmination of Pesach, right? So, why is it called Shavuos? Says the Vilna Gaon, Kashvuos Shin Beis Ayin Taf is the acronym for all these things that Shavuos is called. The Shin for Shavuos, the Beis for Bikurim, the Ayin for Atzeres, and the Taf for Torah. So Shavuos encompasses all these facets. Vilna Gaon. Okay. Well, I'll discuss another thing here. The fact is, we say in davening that this is Zman Matan Torah Seinu, the time of the giving of the Torah, right? So in davening. And we call it all the time generically, even though the Talmud calls it Atzeres, we call it Shavuos, right? Now, Matan Torah Seinu, Matan is from the word Matana, right? Which means a gift, right? So, why is it that we call it Shavuos? And why is it in davening we refer to it as Man Matan Torah Seinu? The idea is the following. We have to realize no matter what we do and how much we delve into Torah, the bottom line is, it is the Machshava of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it is a thought process of Hashem. So, it's an amazing statement. And it's impossible to understand Torah. The truth is, it's impossible. It's Hashem's Torah. Anything that we, and all we do is the effort. Anything that we get a comprehension or understanding or remembering anything, it's all a matana, a gift from Hashem. We have to prepare to our fullest degree. Therefore, the holiday is called Shavuos, because Shavuos means 7 weeks. Right? The name reflects our part. Our job, the preparation. To that degree that we prepare ourselves, to that degree Hashem will give us matana, matan Torah Seinu. He'll give us the gift, the Torah. Not based on our seichel, on our preparation and our efforts. So we call it Shavuos, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we refer to it as matan Torah Seinu, because he gives us a degree. But our job, again, says Rabbi Grossman, is our achana. To that degree, that's our, you know, we say it 3 times a day. Send chalkeinu b'sorasecha, give us our portion of the Torah. This is dependent on us. Okay. You know the expression, if you heard this, it's in the Gemara, ein ben chorim eila misha oisek b'Torah. There's no such thing as a free person other than one who's involved in Torah. That pretty much sums up this class, what we've been talking about. This idea of freedom and simcha and enjoying life, that's it. Ein ben chorim, a truly free person, free from their desires and their lust, right? Person who watches TV on Shabbos is not free. He's chained to that TV. He can't give it up. Can't give up his car on Shabbos. Can't give up the TV on Shabbos. He's the slave. He thinks we're the slaves because of the do's and don'ts. There's a straitjacket of Shabbos. The truth is, we're very free. I can go without TV on Shabbos. I can go out TV over my whole lifetime. Right? Right? I can go out. I can do without washing my car on Shabbos. I'm the true free person. I don't need it. I have to have it. That person cannot sit in his house or, you know, without his car and everything. He's a true slave. But the truth is, all the do's and don'ts of Yiddishkeit shows that we're truly free. We don't need them. We're not locked into them. These people that, I can't do that. I can't accept the Torah. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't eat what I want. I can't go to this restaurant. Right? That means I won't be able to go to Cancun. I won't be able to scuba diving. I'll see things I won't sneeze. I won't be able to that. You're a slave. You're a slave. You have to have this and this and this and this. Ein ben chorim ela mi she'osek b'Torah. But the ben Torah has guidelines. I don't need it. Hashem says, I don't need it. I don't need it. I'm not hurting. I don't feel like I'm missing. Okay? The other idea of a ben chorim, a person is free, When you're a slave, you work for somebody else. A Ben Hurin is a person who works for themselves. And that's what Shavuos represents. Ein Ben Hurin, Elo Misho Isek B'Torah. Without the Torah, whatever you do stays here. That's it. Yeah? It says, Ein Malavim La'adam, nothing escorts a person to the next world. Not the Kesev, not the Zav, not the silver, the gold. Elo Mitzvahs V'Maisim Tovim. Only mitzvahs and good deeds. Right? When you get the Torah on Shavuos, you become free. Because now you're working for yourself. You're accepting the Torah, right? And now everything you do goes with you. The mitzvahs, the ma'asim tovim. You take it with you. You're working for yourself. You're investing in yourself. Right? So that's it. That's the idea. Without Torah, person's not alive. It stays here. Right? Okay. So, that's a kihem chayenu. We keep saying kihem chayenu. It's our lives. Mamish is our lives. What we're doing is going to be our lives in the next world. We're preparing for the next world. Because part of you, okay. So you know our habit. We go to great rebbeim. We go to our rebbeis. We have a problem. What to do in life? We go to our rebbe. Not about learning. I'm sure I should learn what mitzvah I should do. I'm a bum. What career should I? I hate that word career. It means that that's your essence, not a yid's essence. The career of a yid is to do Torah and mitzvahs. Yeah. And you wonder what job to take, where to live. You go to your Rebbe. Why do you go to your Rav? Shem of Zohar, the name of the Zohar. Kol ha'olam hu kemoshal ledivrei Torah. This whole world is a parable. This whole world is a parable to Torah. In other words, he says, Lefi hazika sheyesh leish le'etzem haTorah kach masig gam hamoshal inyonei olam hazeh. To that degree that a person has a grasp on Torah, which is the nimshal, right, is the real, the blueprint, to that degree has the essence of Torah, he'll understand the parable, its physical correspondent, the Torah. I want to know to such a degree that there was a time, I think it's in Shoftim, in Judges, or it was Joshua, Kiryas Sefer, a certain city couldn't be conquered, and this guy said, I'll give my daughter whoever can conquer the city. How can he do that? You know, some big hulking guy he'll give his daughter to? No, he knew that the person who conquered the city, he knew the halachas, the Torah, that correspond to that physical geography here on earth, that he would be a great sage, a great Torah scholar. He wanted his daughter to marry that sage. You hear? That's the way it works. So he goes on here. This world's a parable. A person has a typhus in this world. He understands, the Torah, he understands this world. The whole world called Bria Hu Moshe Levush LaTorah. It is a garment to the Torah. So therefore, im Adam loimet sugya shabro la misa l'shaltoya, a person learns the Torah very well, he knows that place of the world that corresponds to it. So the more a person knows the world, the more he knows the Torah. Nice, man. You got to see stories of the Vilna Gaon, the Chazon Ish, where secular doctors were amazed how they knew about secular things. And they only knew it through the Torah. The Vilna Gaon, to this day, I've said many times, the Kramer theory. The Vilna Gaon's last name was Kramer. It's a basic of mathematics. The Vilna Gaon saw it all in the Torah. Iron, he once told to somebody, an optometrist, somebody who was an eye surgeon, the word for iron, Hebrew is ayin, which is also the letter ayin, which is a numerical value 70. The Vilna Gaon showed him that there's 70 parts to the eye, and that's why it's called ayin. Why? Because he knew the Torah. That's it. That's the main thing. And so therefore, when you have a problem in Olam Hazeh and the physical materials, look, you go to your Rebbe. The greater he is, the more he's involved in Torah, the more he'll understand the Torah way of this world and what it's about. Everybody else is just catering and pandering to political correctness, which is usually spiritual disaster. Yeah. All right, we'll close with this. It says in the Aseret Dibros, in the Ten Commandments, we're going to read. We should talk a little about the Aseret Dibros, I guess. Okay, so it says the following. First of all, it says, Kol Torah mitzvahs hem itin eitzos ech liyizkar v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The 630 commandments are really advice, counsels, how to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's what all the mitzvahs are. How to get close to Hashem. So it says, Sefer Chassidus, Vayidaber Elohim. This is the verse that we saw at the Ten Commandments. Vayidaber Elohim is called Rima Eila Lamor. Hashem spoke all these words to say, Anochi Hashem Lokecha. I'm the Lord your God. That's the first of the Ten Commandments. But he reads it, Hashem said all these things to say, I'm the Lord your God. Meaning, all these mitzvahs are only to come to understand that Hashem is the Lord your God. All the mitzvahs are only to get close to Hashem to understand Him better. Ah, so that's what the Ten Commandments is about. The whole purpose, to get close to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Well, that's it, guys. I'm going to close with this. Everybody shabbat.